You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, our Director of Training and Development, Teddy Lee Knox. Teddy, we're talking about one of your favorite topics today.
Life of a load.
The life of a load.
It's the best topic to go over, always.
Absolutely. This is how the folks would say how the sausage is made.
Yeah. Yes.
You ever heard that term?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Let's get into it. Let's get into the casing and the shredding of the meats, etc. Yes. Life of a load.
I think it's a little bit more elegant than that. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. First up, this is going to talk about the step-by-step process of how we manage our orders all the way through.
Yes. And I think this has a lot to do with just more than the orders, but how we manage our relationships is through the life of a load, which is so important because our partnerships are not just with our customers, but also with our carriers and the warehouse partners that we work with. And every single step is so important. I go through this three times when people are onboarding and training and through all the programs that we do here, because I think it is so important because this is that CPG focus that we're doing. The Zipline way and each step comes through, and that's really important, and it's very natural for everyone here. So it's not difficult, but it's kind of hard to understand from the outside about each step that goes into it when you're only seeing someone say, like, received when that order tender comes through.
Don't be alarmed if you're driving in your car right now listening to this podcast episode if your brain is glowing. Because Teddy's dropping some knowledge. Right off the rip, first step, we get an order tender.
Order tender.
Tell me about that.
So this is one of those things where it's basically receiving the order. So this could be very similar to ordering something online. This is where you are putting in the order for something. This comes from our customers through relationship between them and their buyer for that specific retailer. So this is Costco sending them a PO for a certain number of pallets that they then send to us, usually in combination with their warehouse. So that way we both know when this order needs to pick up and deliver by. It gives all the specifics of what they're shipping, when they want to ship it, and when it needs to deliver by, and who's receiving it.
What, when, who, from,
where, why.
God, so great.
All of it.
So you got your shipper, your receiver, your pallet count, your weight, your case count, potentially.
Exactly what the cases are,
Your must arrive by date. Yeah, product description, etc. Sometimes it'll have the information about the shippers and receivers, where you go to schedule, who you need to talk to, a contact.
Yeah. It depends a lot on the customer who's sending it and what capabilities that they have. There are also different terms for this. So we call it a tender. Some people may call it a PO, a delivery note, shipment. There's a whole bunch of different terms for it. It's just like all the other terms we have in logistics, there are seven terms for one thing.
Unofficially.
Asterisk. There might be more. I don't know.
All right. So we get an order tender. What's next? Step two.
So at Zipline, we take it very seriously that when you get that order, you are building and scheduling within 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how far out it is. So if this is something in like 3 weeks, it's probably going to be more in that 30-minute range. But everything else, we try to make sure that we build it. And that building process is also requesting appointments. So that's where that freight scheduling comes in.
Freight scheduling.
The freight scheduling comes in, and that is the pickup and the delivery appointments. We recommend delivering the delivery appointments first, because one of our major KPIs for our customers, that key performance indicators that they care about, is the MABD. And that's must arrive by date. Again, bunch of different terms for when it needs to deliver that is confirmed by the buyer. And that is when it needs to be to that depot so it can get to the store on time to be sold to the consumers. And then once you get that, you can go back to the shipper. The reason that is because those MIBDs, depending on who you're delivering to, are not very flexible. It's going to be very hard to work around that. Shippers are pretty good at being flexible and understanding. And also the type of mode you use can help with that too. So the delivery appointment first, then the pickup, and then that goes into how we're actually going to be booking this.
Why do we have to do it in 30 minutes, Teddy? That seems so fast.
It is.
Doesn't make any sense. It's shipping in 2 weeks. It's not due until, you know, 2.5 weeks from now. Why would we need to deliver it or schedule it so quickly?
Well, because we're geniuses and we are a floor full of experts and we understand that most of the windows are in 10 days. Like you can schedule out 10 days, but also you also know that those book up in about 8 days.
Are you telling me that other people are trying to schedule into the Costco in Monroe Township, New Jersey? Do they receive other freight?
Yes, they
just
do.
Outside of ours?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them do wait for us, obviously, to request appointments.
We've established a relationship, maybe, in a lot of cases. That's true.
But a lot of these retailers used to be, like, back in my day, you call. Mm-hmm. You talk to a person, you schedule your appointment, you email. Now they're all switching to portals.
Right.
So that time is even more of the essence. It is super important to get in there and get your appointment. And then you can work out all the other details after the fact. But if you don't get that appointment, you've already hit a big snag. And then you have to get the customer and the buyer involved. And that just takes more time. And that's more white noise. No one wants that.
Sometimes these receivers will have large receiving windows.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They could be a 24/7 receiver or maybe afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And through our expertise and our engagement with our carrier partners, we've established that on a certain lane, the aforementioned Costco Monroe Township, New Jersey, perhaps a carrier wants to pick up 50 miles away and deliver by 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't schedule it far in advance, we're only going to have that 10 a.m. appointment available.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to pick it up the day before. We have to hold it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
That could add extra cost. That causes disruptions in service potentially.
Yep.
So we are reaching out ahead of time to partner with not only our customers, but our carriers also.
Absolutely. And I think we have it down to a pretty good science too, where we know if you schedule for certain depots afternoon, not just in the afternoon, but after mm-hmm. 12 p.m.,
sure.
You're not getting that request back until the following afternoon.
That's right.
So it saves you a lot of extra time, and it can allow you to then book and get that carrier faster.
Get on it.
Absolutely. No wasting time.
What's next? We've scheduled the pickup and delivery. We've got the order. We built it. It's now in what I call bookable status.
Mm-hmm.
It's a truckload. Now what?
So now the next stage is technically dispatch, but that's where all these steps come in. This is going to be a really long podcast. I'm just going to talk about everything all the way through. But with the dispatch, it's so important to make sure that we have the correct carrier and the correct mode on this. So that's where that carrier qualification comes in that we've talked about in other podcasts, but also making sure that that carrier is available, is empty to go and pick up at that correct time.
So these are unwritten steps is what you're telling me.
Well, the dispatch is a big part of it, but in that dispatch is actually making sure that you have that correct carrier, you have that correct mode, and they're empty and available to pick up. The logistics industry is pretty common to not have 3 weeks advance notice.
Right.
Especially with the retailers that we're dealing with. They have something, they need it, they need to fill those shelves now. When you're in the CPG sector, it's something that you need often. Like you may go to the grocery store a couple times a week to stock up on bread or certain beverages, and you need to be able to fulfill that. So there's times where we're going to get orders, especially during specific promotions, where, hey, this needs to be there in 3 days. And that
maybe
happens
even
often.
Faster.
Exactly. So that dispatch process is usually in combination with, you know, booking and getting that right carrier. But we've been able to work with a lot of our customers to help with that lead time, to get a little bit more space, mm-hmm. to get the right appointment, and give their inventory and their shippers more time to actually plan and prep, which benefits the whole network.
I'm going to put in my own stop in or my own step.
Yeah.
In between scheduling and dispatch is logisticizing.
It's a good step. I'll add it.
That's like you mentioned, deciding the right type of mode.
Yeah.
You know, just because something is 12 pallets mm-hmm. and needs to go 50 miles doesn't necessarily mean a truckload is the right mode.
Exactly.
Or an LTL is the right mode, even more importantly. So let's call it 5 pallets now.
Yeah.
And typically that would fall under LTL specifications until you bring in the MABD,
mm-hmm.
until you bring in the transit, until you bring in the appointment time and when it actually needs to get there. Then we logisticize and establish what type of mode.
Yeah.
Then we can book it. Then we can dispatch it.
What's up, truckers? If you're loving this episode of the Truck Yeah podcast, I guarantee you'll also love Zipline Logistics' newest ebook. It's called Leveraging Shipper Intelligence Technology to Navigate Supply Chain Issues. And this amazing ebook dives deep into how you can select the best shipping technology to maximize your brand's ROI, a peek into what technology that's out there, and everything you need to know about Zipline's proprietary shipping intelligence tool, Canopy. And you want to know the best part? It's completely free. So you can download the ebook by visiting www.ziplinelogistics.com or by simply clicking the link in the show notes. This is an amazing resource that you don't want to miss out on the opportunity to check out. So go download it right now. Now let's get back to the episode.
We have an entire quarter within Zipline University, our continued education program, dedicated to logisticizing. And I think that that's really important because we do it really well.
Boom. Next step.
Loading.
We got a driver dispatch. Now he's arrived at the shipper.
So this is an interesting one, too, because this is different across multiple modes. The loading is actually getting to the shipper within the correct amount of time to be loaded. You know, there's drop trailer. There is LTL. There's full truckload. There's a bunch of different ways to actually make sure that the product gets on the trailer. But there can be a lot of problem solving involved with loading, especially when it comes to CPG. So hay is food. It's, you know, it can be on a food grade trailer. Unfortunately, it smells. So when you have someone who hauled hay on a food grade trailer before they pick up your product, it can be problematic. So you got to make sure what that person hauled before, and you got to have contingency plans for when they hauled something that's food grade that can leave an odor behind. Trailers can be rejected because there is debris, there's possible holes, there's a lot of wear and tear on these trailers, which is why there's so many requirements for what how much you can load it with so there isn't those damages to it. But there can be a lot of things that happen within loading. Hopefully, things are loaded within that 1 to 2 hour period, especially for your examples of the same day shipments. But shippers reserve the right to have 2 full hours to load, which can sometimes be problematic depending on the transit.
What happens after 2 hours?
You hit detention. So that detention can be, depending on the charge, it can be really bad, a bad situation because you not only have the detention charge, but just like a layover in an airport, it can cause a lot of issues for that final destination.
Delays the whole thing. All right. In this case, driver checked in. He's there to pick up 26 pallets. Paperwork says 26 pallets. We're good to go. Checked it off. Signed the VOL. Now what?
So now it's considered the transit or loaded. So again, more terms for one example of what's happening.
In transit.
In transit.
Loaded.
And
in
this,
route.
And this can be very tricky because now we're dealing with hours of service. And so we have our transit of how long it should take. But now we need to remember that there's humans behind the wheel of the truck and they have to take breaks. So that transit needs to be set up perfectly. So when you're doing that freight scheduling and logisticizing, that needs to go. You need to be thinking forward to this specific point where we call, have at least 1 to 2 call-ins a day, not including any other tools that we have involved where customers can then go call their experts on the floor and find out what's going on. They can check Canopy to see what's going on and see exactly points where each call is made and how close the driver is from, you know, the shipper to all the way to the delivery or any stop in between.
If you're a common listener to the Truck Yeah podcast, Canopy is our proprietary intelligence software. It's owned in-house. We have a section called the Summit that shows you exactly where your truck is. It's a nice, beautiful looking map. It's got some truck logos on there. Very, very, very cool.
It's nice.
Yeah.
And that you can also have problems here. You can have breakdowns. You can have issues. You can have accidents. You can have traffic, which everyone should be able to relate to.
Sure.
And that's why it's so important to stay on top of it, to communicate things, any issues that may happen. Because again, if something happens that prevents us from hitting a delivery, not only on time from when that appointment is, but the MABD, it can cause a lot of issues. And communicating about it up front can help.
Nailed it. All right. I didn't run into any traffic. I'm a driver. I'm rolling along. And now I get to the consignee, the destination.
The receiver.
The receiver. Final, the DC.
The DC.
The final stop. Now what step am I at?
Now you're checking in, and let's hope you're checking in on time.
Yeah.
A lot of these receivers have 10-minute like time frames to check in. And if you are past that 10-minute time frame, you can either be rejected or be a work-in. That work in means that you wait to the discretion of whoever is on dock managing that dock at that time of when you can actually be received. That can be problematic because it could be a couple hours. What if you have another load going up? So again, that communication is really important because we can usually try to help that work in or put some notice in. There's a lot of different tips and tricks that we've gained over the years for each facility on how to put that ETA in, on how to try to work around with a little bit more time or even reschedule in advance to make sure that it can still be received and make it to that shelf on time. And you can have those issues like rejection, like delays. We've even had issues where it's actually the receiver's issue preventing things to be unloaded. Mm-hmm. So that takes a lot of teamwork on the floor to make sure that if there is some sort of delay, drivers are usually pretty vocal about those things, which is helpful because, again, we're a team. And they will tell us what's going on. We can get that information and get the right people involved to make sure that this load gets accepted on time.
Yeah, as usual, and we've certainly mentioned it before, the prior proper planning prevents poor performance.
Yep.
If you know ahead of time, if you're doing the work up front, mm-hmm. the back end's going to be a lot easier when those problems do arise.
And I think one of my favorite things to go over at this point is, again, those modes. LTL is obviously a very big popular mode with a lot of these big retailers because they just need a couple pallets or so. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these carriers will drop. And a lot of these DCs reserve the right to unload trailers at their discretion. So you may drop it the day before it's due, but they are not going to unload it for 3 weeks because they are not ready for it, regardless of whether when the buyer asked for this to be delivered. So that's really important to understand, which is why we know exactly when which carrier delivers to which DC and what day that they drop. You got the trailer number. There's no issues. You can coerce that DC to unload that trailer. I'm sorry, request DC to unload that trailer.
Beg, plead.
Exactly.
All right. So in this particular shipment, everything went well. I got unloaded within the required 2-hour time frame. The receiver, the consignee, the DC signed off on my 26 pallets. So I'm mm-hmm. free and clear.
Yep.
Now what?
So now it's technically part of an end of a load at this point. It's delivered. There is a difference between delivering and inbounding. So knowing that difference is really important here. And then the next steps are making sure that everything goes through to the billing process. Mm-hmm. We're partners with our carriers as well as our customers. As soon as this information is done, we work really hard to make sure that we get our carriers paid quickly. This is important. Whether you're, even if you're a customer, you should care about this because the fact that we're paying our carriers first and making sure that they stay happy is why we have such great carrier partners and why our deliveries are on time. It's an extension to make sure that everyone stays, really happy, but then also that they will return to do a great job for us because they know that we're doing things correctly.
If I'm a customer, what do I need for you to get paid?
What?
What are the requirements for me to pay you? Like that, you told me it delivered, but you haven't really provided any proof.
Paperwork. Proof of delivery. POD. So again, why we pay the carrier first. They give us this information. We confirm that it delivers all receipts required. For example, UNFI, they'll have lumper receipts. We confirm those. We pay the carrier. And then we give all of that information, that proof, to the customer, and then they then pay us, hopefully, within similar terms.
Yeah, it's been really fun to see the evolution in my 17 years, almost, of transportation, of apps or cell phones or things of that nature where drivers can take photos mm-hmm. And send emails or upload them directly into a system.
Yeah.
And all the paperwork that you possibly need. I know there's a handful of customers that we work with, right, where it'll be maybe several POs on a truck, or a PO will contain several different case descriptions or product types.
Yes.
So it'll have 7, 8, 9, 12 mm-hmm. different pieces of paperwork. And we want to see all 12. We're going to trust
all
you.
All correspondences and everything.
Correct. So we need to see that whole kit and caboodle to make sure that everything is received in case there are any pushbacks later on down the line. Mm-hmm. But once we get that, you're absolutely right. We process it within our system and we send out the payment.
And then the load is officially closed at that point. The life of a load is over.
Boom.
And I think that that's really important, too. And that's why having the great partner with all of these things and understanding all of the steps are super important. Because if someone is telling you the life of a load is pickup and delivery and that's it, there's a problem. That's not enough information. You don't understand the contingency plans and what mm-hmm. could go on there, and that how important the relationships are. And that's why when you're outsourcing with someone, you have to make sure you have all the information. When you're getting into a partnership or a relationship with someone, you want to know more than just the basics.
You want to have someone, like I mentioned, to be able to logisticize when mm-hmm. when problems arise. Yeah. I added an extra word in there for some reason. But also, as I mentioned, the 8 steps or 7 steps that we were just discussing,
yeah,
logisticizing is part of it within those 7 steps when things are going right.
Yes.
Right?
That's why they're going right.
You have to have the constant communication, as you said, contingency plans, the qualified carriers, right? We talk about most of our shipments are food grade.
Mm-hmm.
So we're qualifying our carriers. It doesn't do us any good to bring on a carrier that has 27 trucks that are not food grade qualified.
Correct.
That doesn't do us any good.
Nope.
And then I mentioned the Canopy and our proprietary software, Canopy. It has all the Summit, which is the track and trace function. And then we have a data analytics portion that really enhances your shipment level detail
mm-hmm.
to then talk about the future, right? It's great to see the Summit is like a day-to-day thing, but then yeah. the analytics portion, diving into your cost per case, cost per skid, average transit days, things of that nature to really make better decisions about your transportation and allowing a specialist like Zipline to handle that so you can focus in on creating your widget to yeah. sell to the world.
It's so important, because if you're not doing this correctly, you're going to see all those extra costs and fees. And that's the biggest thing that I think we hold back. We prevent it. The truck might not be, the truck might be expensive, but that's not the most expensive thing in logistics. The most expensive thing in logistics is not hitting your things on time, not being able to sell your product, and, possibly having to store that product longer because it didn't make it on the shelf on time. That's where you see a lot of those issues. And if you don't have the right outsource partner, you'll continue to see those issues.
Teddy, genius. Well done.
Thanks. You too.
For those listening, if you liked this episode, please give us a follow wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's Spotify, Apple, some other app that I don't know of. It's going to help us get our reach out there so we can grow and bring on new listeners, new guests, etc. Feel free to leave us a review if we triggered something deep within your soul today.
Or if we gave you new terms that you haven't heard.
There you go.
If we taught you anything new, give us 5 stars.
We'd love to hear from our listeners. Teddy, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Zipline Logistics Podcast. See you next time.